The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
I have always wanted a whole summer to myself. The summer of Mace.
This may be it for you.
It is my summer, officially. All right, so there's a great article that posted on ESPN earlier this week about the three-point shot. It's written by our friend Kevin Arnovitz. And he points out, among other things, he points out one particular game. When Milwaukee played Minnesota a couple of weeks ago, the two teams combined for 96 three-point shots. That is one every 30 seconds. And the question is that actually healthy for the NBA? And Kevin has written extensively on this subject.
Well, do we have Kevin yet, Jorge? Okay. Kevin, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Okay, good.
Hey,
good.
Kevin.
Good. Glad to have you. Mason phrases this question perfectly. Is it good for the NBA? I think that Frankenstein has outgrown when they put the three-pointer in, it was to add a different level of excitement. Now it's taken over the game. But, Kevin, I don't know if it's realistic to ask if you can put the toothpaste back in the tube. What do you think?
Right. I think it's neither good nor bad. But it is, and it needs to be monitored, and I would call sort of your Frankenstein an overcorrection, right?
Right.
Whereby, hey, there needed to be scoring. In the late 90s, there's a reason they convened that committee by Jerry Colangelo, that basically whose initiative was do something, anything, to spare the public Alonzo Mourning and Patrick Ewing wrestling down in the post. Or as Rick Carlisle like to says, his enduring image of that moment was Mark Jackson posting up Charlie Ward. Like, this was what constituted basketball. Now, I think there's probably a pendulum somewhere between the aggravated assault that happened out on the perimeter in the sort of hand-checking days and the spa days that they offer guards in today's game. And I think there's probably a happy median where, hey, let the defense have a fighting chance. And I think where it probably went overboard was the 2018, hey, we're going to emphasize freedom of movement. I think there should be freedom of movement. I think we could argue where exactly on the spectrum you want the freedom to turn into a foul and where it sort of is just unbridled. I think that's the question. I mean, I don't think it's so much. I think if you eliminated a lot of the penetration, I don't want to say eliminated, if you gave the defense a fighting chance to impede penetration, you'd probably cut down on a lot of these threes. It's not about, oh, guys, everybody can shoot them. It's, does everyone have an open chance? Because the defense collapses on all of these drives. It's no middle. It's just cut off, the driver. And what happens is all these guys are skilled. Anybody can find a three-point shooter, and
right,
especially when there are four of them.
Yeah. So it's really a product of analytics, and it reminds me of what has happened in baseball. You know, in baseball, the analytics have driven teams to really go for broke, swing for the fences every time, and the game has devolved into home run or strikeout. That's very much the same thing in the NBA. You know, right now, as you point out in your article, 40%, just about 40% of all shots in the NBA are three-point shots. And you suggest that it could wind up going as high as half of all shots in an NBA game. If we reach that critical point, is that too many?
Right. I mean, I think the question is, what do you want? If the answer is, hey, we want scoring, and we love these 141, 138 games, and it doesn't really matter how we get there, then the answer is don't do a thing. If the goal is, hey, we want some diversity of identity, you know, it's nice to say, hey, that team, this is how they play. And it's a good contrast to Team B, right? Like, you know, now, if you don't think there's any virtue to having a Memphis Grizzlies in their sort of grit and grind days and a little of this and a little of that and, you know, 7 seconds or less or more, you know, slow it down teams, and then don't worry about it. It's just, what do we want? And I think the problem is, you know, it's easy. I don't want to say you can't really blame analytics, right? Like, It's just a collective realization, like, oh, yeah, you mean we get a 50% premium for that shot, and it's not 50% harder? Like, you'd be practicing, it would be basketball malpractice if you didn't encourage your team to shoot threes. The problem is not that these are bad shots. The problem, these are good shots, even when they're mediocre shooters taking them. In a perfect world, everybody would get together and say, hey, the market's corrected itself. Let's just award 2.4 points for a three. But, like, you can't do that in basketball. It's not like Steph Curry for 2.4, you know, or, you know, like there's no dynamic market. Right, it is so, what it is.
Kevin, let's pretend we're talking to Kevin Arnovitz from ESPN. We're talking about the three-pointer in the NBA and how it's kind of taken over the game. Let's pretend that Adam Silver put the three of us in charge of addressing this problem, and we can either do something or we can do nothing. But you've done a deep dive on this, so let me just get your opinion. Would it help if we move the line back? In other words, maybe even eliminate the corner three and move the line back. Would that help the problem or make it worse?
I think if you eliminate the corner three, it might very well help, because then I think you're not stretching the defense out. Now, the problem with just moving it back and keeping the three is I think it makes it worse, because guys will just adjust to learning. Oh, we already see Dame doing it. We see Trae right. Young. I mean, there'll just be a generation of those guys. And now the defense is even more stretched. So I don't know that moving it back necessarily does it. I mean, eliminating the corners, which you know, my colleague, I think Kirk Goldsberry, explored that. That's interesting, because now that help that comes, you know, leaving guys in the corner is often the prescription. You know, weak side corner guy often helps. Like, he's often the best sort of second line of defense, you know. And okay, so if that guy doesn't really have to worry as much, and even if you kick it out to the weak side corner, it's only a two, I think it could help. But I don't know. I just feel like we're kind of playing whack-a-mole.
Right. And okay, so Kevin, let me give you one more. Michael Thompson, my radio partner, he wants to go the other way. He wants to add a four-point line, because he says the game will naturally adjust to that. That you mentioned Damian Lillard. You saw in the All-Star game, Dame has already taken 40-footers. Steph has taken 40-footers. And if you did that, then it might swing back the other way. Would you be in favor of maybe even experimenting in the G League with a four-point line, or is that idea too radical?
I don't really think there's any idea too radical. I mean, the most radical idea was putting in a three-point line itself. I like the four-pointer. Now, yeah. I don't know that it solves – if you think the problem is it's just all guys spot, like, you know, coming down and jacking up shots, I don't think it helps that. I think it's exciting. I don't know that it helps if that is your problem. If the problem is there's not a diversity of style, everyone's just firing up, you know, every game at 70, 80, 90, now even 100 three-pointers some nights, right? I don't think it helps that, but I like it anyway. You know, I mean, that's just fun. I mean, the proposal
there's something to be said for the long three. I mean, those logo threes, I think, are like some of the coolest moments of games.
Right. Here's the thing. If I'm making the argument it's too much, I want to see Steph Curry, Dame Lillard, Trae Young, and all these other guys shoot threes. I think the question is, and the game I gave was just a random game I tuned into, kind of the performance experiment, Minnesota-Milwaukee, I don't know that I need backup centers jacking up threes who shoot 33%, right? Like, I don't think anyone has a problem with Curry and Lillard. I would say Anthony Edwards is a really interesting case. Rookie of the year, uncommon athleticism. The reason he's picked first is he can do things and slash and the game I watched, 8 of his 13 field goals are from three-point land, and he's a 31% three-point shooter.
Right.
I don't go to the arena and watch athletic guys shoot from three. You know, look, I think it's fine if you're Blake Griffin, you've lost some athleticism, you modify your game a little bit. But I just think that the issue is not the logo threes. The issue is 31. You know, Darius Bazley, five attempts a game. Right. Like the problem is not that these are bad shots. The problem is they're within the framework of the math, it's a good shot. And, you know, I think that's sort of the problem.
I heard Zach Lowe talk about this as a potential way to address this. The corner three is obviously, I think, league-wide, it's like a 40% shot. And he suggested, because guys just like to hang out in the corner and wait for the ball, he suggested that there be a three-second violation in association with just hanging out in the corner waiting for that three ball. What do you think of that?
I like that. Right, like, because now, in my way, that's not even radical, right? We do that all the time. There's this painted, you know, box in the, you know, on the court that you can't hang out for 3 points. Why not just have a box over there too? I like, yeah, again, That's sort of the thing. I am sort of sympathetic to the argument that there's too many. It's not that there are too many out of hand. It's just there are too many sort of cheap ones. There's too many that I think have substituted more, frankly, you know, just more interesting offense. I mean, you know, I thought Darren Mulley had an interesting quote, which is there should be a lot of different ways to win. What we're finding is there are no, there's basically almost one way to win. I mean, look, the Lakers, I think, made it as interesting as possible last year. But I just think that those offenses are going by the wayside. And I don't know. I don't want a league where there's no Zach Randolph, you know, a Zach Randolph type
right.
player.
Yeah, Kevin, I was just going to ask you, if Shaquille O'Neal came along today, if he was coming into the league in 2021, would he have to shoot threes? Or could you still be simply a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Shaquille O'Neal type player without a three-point game in 2021?
I think you could be, but I also think there would be series and games where you're not on the floor in the last 5 minutes.
Really?
You know, like, I mean, I think that's sort of the concern. I mean, oh, there's definitely a place for that guy. I just think that, I mean, you know, you saw it in sort of the Houston Golden States. I think there will be situations where you might not be on the floor in the closing games. Look, Clint Capella is no Shaquille O'Neal, but that guy was dominant as a rim runner. He couldn't find the floor in the fourth quarter of the crucial games of that series a couple of years ago. And that's what I would be concerned about.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, it is a great piece. It's called NBA Insiders Say All These Threes Are Reaching a Critical Mass. It is by Kevin Arnovitz. We talked about it a lot this week, Kevin. Great piece of work, and we will talk to you soon.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right. So what do you think, John? Are there too many threes?
There are, but I don't know if I would do anything about it. Once you start tweaking these rules, it gets kind of gimmicky.
But isn't the three a gimmick in the first place?
Maybe. What do you think about the idea of make the line more of an arc? Take it. So, in other words, make it 25 feet, but don't let that line go into the corner. So basically,
right.
it'd be probably 3 to 5 feet past the key, but it would be an arc that would only...
That would eliminate the corner three.
Right. What do you think of that?
I like that. I mean, guys do camp out there for the corner three. I also like the three-second violation. Guys just hanging out in the corner, waiting for the ball. It is, I mean, league-wide, that is now a 40% shot. That shot is made 4 out of 10 times.
Yeah, so, by the way, you know who the number one three-point shooting team in the NBA is right now?
No.
Clippers.
Are they?
Yeah. But Utah was number one for a while. They have a really good three-point shooting.
By the way, 877-710-ESPN. For me, it is a little bit... Okay, so here's the way I view this. So I look at baseball, which is my, let's call it my native sport, right? Okay. I grew up in baseball,
right.
Watch every Dodger game, all that stuff. I like the nuance of not having every guy swing for a home run and every at-bat. I think analytics has damaged the game. And I'm hoping that this softening of the baseball, this lightening of the baseball, this deadening of the baseball will turn this game into a game with more action. I think nuanced NBA fans look at the games. And for me, I love the three-pointer. I love the idea of the four-point line. I think there's nothing cooler than when Steph or LeBron or Lillard make one of those logo threes. I think it's just amazing to watch.
Right.
So I'm with you.
I don't want to get rid of that. Hey, before we get to the phones, I know you want to get Michael Sutz on this. Pay off the Bill Walton story, because I don't know what
it is. Yeah. So Bill Walton is Bill Walton. And Bill is... arguably, I think he's the most entertaining color analyst.
He's also, Mace, become the most polarizing. In other words, everybody I talk to, either, like me, for example, I worship at the church of Bill Walton. Can't get enough of him. If he's doing a game, sometimes I'll watch the game, even if I have no interest in the game, just to hear what he'll say. I love him. I love him with Dave Pasch. I think they're great. I have friends of mine, good friends of mine, people you know, that say Walton ruins the game for them.
Interesting.
That they can't watch a game that Bill is doing because he's so all over the map. So I'm curious where you're going with this.
Okay. Coming up next, Bill Walton all over the map, just as you said, John, plus 877-710-ESPN on this three-point thing I think is really interesting.
And by the way, at 3:30, Michael Roth, the guy who is the public relations head of Staples Center, will come on to settle the debate, the Patrick Ewing debate. Michael and Mason think that Patrick Ewing never needs a pass. His number is retired in the rafters. He's a legend. He should be able to come and go as he wants. My argument is everybody needs a pass. I don't care who you are. Michael Roth, who actually makes those decisions, along with Lee Zeidman, will join us at 3:30 to tell us how that would be handled at Staples Center.
Cool. And in the meantime, my favorite traffic person and my favorite candle maker, Kiki, is on
you
the
line. You make candles?
Yeah, she makes candles now.
I made three for Steve Mason. I'll take a picture. I just made three for Steve Mason today.
Sure. Yeah. My wife's birthday is right before Mason's. Mason is March 23rd. My wife is March 19th. You got to hook
me up. I'm going to send you pictures. I'm going to hook you up for sure. Okay. That's so cool. Thank you.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And I really do believe Kellerman is our pregame show. He's the warm-up. He's the warm-up show. It's like what MT and Slee would do for Laker games.
I agree. You guys are better than Kellerman. I like Kellerman. He's good, but you guys are the best show in L.A. sports.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you. I wanted to play real quick before we get to this three-point shot conversation. Bill Walton and Dave Pasch. So this was from a quarterfinals game, Cal versus Colorado. In the Pac-12 tournament. Here are just some random snippets of Bill Walton. Hit the first one, Jorge.
A thorn in their hoof.
I'm not sure what noise that is. You're supposed to whimper, I think, when you get a thorn in your hoof.
That's a snort.
Okay. Here is Dave Pasch.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just so glad
chew through this mask here.
You can't scratch me. You can't elbow me. You can't block me out. You can't throw. One of the greatest college basketball players of all time,
please.
And one of the top 50 NBA players of all time.
Yeah,
you're crazy.
We're just having a grand time here in Las Vegas.
And here's one more. Here Walton hijacks Pasch.
Pac-12 tournament presented by New York Life.
Yeah, wait a second. They put these graphics up for like 10 seconds, and you expect to read all this stuff in 10 seconds.
Gee.
It's on the far side of the right that's really critical here. So Oregon and Oregon State are still alive. USC is looking for an opponent tomorrow.
Yeah, they'll
We're
have
in
one.
Las Vegas. Yeah. New York Life. Be better at life. Be good at life.
All right.
And that's what we're doing now.
Any more shots of the truck you want to take, you'll have to do it after the game.
I can't get enough of them.
I mean, come on.
By the way, people out there think that Pasch and Walton don't get along. It's the opposite. We had Pasch on once. I think you were gone. And he basically explained that there's no one he likes working with more than Walton.
Yeah.
Because it makes him laugh. And he's like the perfect straight man.
Are you in on Walton? Are you a fan?
Love Walton. Always loved him. Always thought he was good. Fun to listen to.
Yeah, I think he's awesome. Yeah. I mean, Colorado, Pac-12 quarterfinals. Here's a reason to watch. Bill Walton's doing the game. All right, so I don't know if you heard any of the conversation with Kevin Arnovitz there, Michael.
I've been saying this forever. You guys are way behind us.
So wait a minute.
Wait, so Michael, first of all, I know we'll get to your 4-point idea in a second, but would you move the 3-point line back?
No, leave it right where it is.
And you would keep the corner three?
Yeah, that's no problem. The problem with the three is because you don't have any more Shaqs and Akeems and Ewings and Kareems in the game anymore, so you can throw the ball in the low post and let the guy go to work. So those centers don't exist anymore, so that's why teams have become less creative on offense and just relying on threes. Believe me, if you had Shaq playing for the Lakers right now, the Lakers would be taking as many threes.
But, Michael, let me throw something at you. Uh-huh. the reason we don't have Shaqs and Hakeems anymore mm-hmm. is because the game has changed.
No.
Because of the emphasis on the three-point shot. We don't – I mean, look at – even Giannis is trying to make threes. Embiid makes threes.
Michael Porzingis doesn't post up.
I know. That's whoever coaches him should be fired.
Well, but
Seven foot three with his skills and you don't post up.
But all this is a function of where the game has gone. Is that healthy for the game or should there be more diversity in the game? If you came along today, Michael – number one pick in the draft.
Yeah.
And it was year of our Lord, 2021. Wouldn't you be a three-point shooter too?
Yeah, but I'd mix it up. I wouldn't just stand outside and become Bill Laimbeer. I'd go down the post and I'd try to be a smaller version of Joel Embiid. Not as good, but a smaller version, trying to mix it up.
Is it healthy? Because right now, 40% of all shots taken in NBA games mm-hmm. are three-point shots.
Well, let's put it this way. It's boring. As fun as they are, because all the offenses look the same. Here comes the center to set a high screen, dribble off the screen, and kick it out to a three-point shooter. If he doesn't have the shot, then he puts the ball on the floor. He tries to create something off the dribble. He doesn't have it. He gives it to another guy. Then, okay, your turn. So it's no creativity. There's no back cuts. There's no fluidity in offenses anymore. The game.
Okay,
is
Michael, Rick Carlisle has responded to you, to guys that think what you think.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what he said, because the TNT guys, Charles and Kenny, criticized Carlisle, like you just did, for not posting up Porzingis.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what Carlisle...
What is his defense?
All right, here's his defense. The post-up just isn't a good play anymore. It just isn't good. It's not a good play for a 7-3 guy. It's a low-value situation. Our numbers are very substantial that when he spaces beyond the three-point line, we're a historically good offensive team. And when any of our guys go in there, our effectiveness is diminished exponentially. It's counterintuitive, I understand that, but it's a fact. I think there are certain situations where it makes sense. If we can get them on a roll in the paint towards the rim, that's a good situation, and that's what we try and do with all our guys. But we don't post anybody up. We post Luka up every once in a while when we have a real small guy on him, but even those situations has plummeted. We got to realize this game has changed. It's just a fact. And he's a guy, when he spaces beyond the arc above the break, is a historically great three-point shooter.
So if he had Joel Embiid, he wouldn't put that monster in the post where he can destroy
Doesn't
people.
Sound like it.
And that's just crazy.
But listen, remember when Mike D'Antoni took the Lakers job? One of the first things he said was the post-up play is the least effective play in basketball.
That's because they don't have Kareems.
Wait a minute, we had Dwight Howard and Pau Gasol at that point.
Pau's
and
very
he still
good,
said it.
They were good, but they wasn't Hakeem and Kareem in the low post. We'll put them in that class.
You don't think if Shaq came along today, I think he would shoot threes.
Oh, no. Remember what he can't, because his touch wasn't there.
Wait a minute, you don't think he would have developed his game along those lines?
No.
Every kid now, like the young
DeAndre
Joel Embiid,
shoots threes.
And he's
Marc Gasol, the young guys, the young bigs all shoot threes.
You can shoot them, but you got to make them. And then they don't make them at a good enough clip. No, DeAndre Ayton, these guys are too good around the basket. Take advantage of a 7-foot-3 guy with Porzingis' touch with either hand, and you don't want to take advantage of that in the front of the basket? Makes no sense.
All right, Michael, here's more from Carlisle. Who's running the triangle now? Has anyone seen anyone running the triangle offense, the triple post? If you do, raise your hand because I want to see who you are. It doesn't exist. That offense is extinct. It went extinct when Phil Jackson retired. He's the only guy who ever had success with it. He's a genius, but look, we've got to get off this thing. We got to treat Porzingis with some respect and respect him for what he is. He's a historically great player, and quit criticizing him because he's 7-3. That's what everybody's doing. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's the people on TV or anything else.
Then why play? Why not just put a bunch of 6-foot guys out there and shoot threes?
Michael, don't you think that's what's happening? That we've gone to this positionless basketball.
Well, yeah.
And everybody shoots threes.
Yeah,
I mean, think about this, Michael. We're going to reach a point, Kevin Arnovitz says, where half of all shots will be three-pointers. Is that good for the game?
I'm surprised it's not already, because that's all we see in the game. Teams put enough, say a team takes 80 field goal attempts, they'll shoot 40 of them will be threes.
And do you think that's good basketball?
No, it's kind of boring.
Don't you think adding a four-point shot is going to actually increase that boringness?
Because everybody's not going to shoot a million four-point shots, I don't think. So I put a four-point arc in there from 30 feet out. But, all the offenses look the same now. You can watch the game and they all look the same, whether it's college or pro. There's no more creativity in offensive schemes.
But if Carlisle were here, Michael, he would argue that he can get 3 points out of running, of spacing the floor, and you can only get 2 points on your post-up.
Listen, I watched the Warriors for 4 years with Kevin Durant, say 3 years, and they were the greatest three-point shooting team in history. Three of the greatest shooters from three.
Right.
And many a night, I would watch every Warrior game, and they would destroy people from mid-range. Kevin Durant, it's like shooting a free throw for him and Clay. They were so efficient at it. So, and they would blow out teams shooting that shot a lot, a mid-range shot, because they were so efficient.
So you're not worried that the Lakers are not a top 20 three-point shooting team?
No.
You think that because they're so good at everything else, they can overcome it?
Because they got two of the best three players in the history, in the game today, that they'll be fine as long as they're healthy.
Yeah, what I pointed out earlier, Michael, and I do think it's a concern, is that since February the 1st, the Lakers are shooting 30% from three as a
team. They went into the bubble shooting poorly, and then we saw what happened in the finals. Caldwell Pope and these guys were knocking down threes all over the place.
All right, so coming up, Michael Roth from Staples Center is going to join us. He's going to tell us which one of our arguments is right about Patrick Ewing.
Or throwing Kareem in there too and Magic.
Yep. All of them.
Yeah.
I say anybody who needs to come into a building needs to have a credential.
Everybody needs to have a credential.
And you
Magic
guys say
must have a credential.
You guys say
enter state.
If you ever played for the Lakers, if you're Von Wafer or
Stuart
Parker,
no,
come on in.
No,
I'm sorry, Mr. Magic Johnson. Yes. You have no press pass.
I'm betting that Michael Roth will say, it doesn't matter who you are. You've got to have a credential.
Okay, we will find out.
We will
find out. Coming up next for you, then we got Game of Games. Mason, Ireland, Michael Thompson hanging out today, 7:10.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
ESPN. Yeah, Morales always trying to create trouble. Hey, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for being out there. We appreciate you guys letting us do this show every day.
Now, as usual, we have a disagreement, and
yes,
we're going to bring in an expert to settle it. Now, the disagreement stems from something that happened to Patrick Ewing, the NBA Hall of Famer and all-time great New York Knick, over the past couple of days. He's now the head coach at Georgetown. And Patrick Ewing's number is retired in Madison Square Garden, his number 33. Michael, you say he's the greatest Knick of all time, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Okay. So Patrick Ewing hasn't been wearing a credential, and because of that, he's been getting stopped.
Yep.
Now, he doesn't think he needs a credential, and Mace, you have him talking about this, right?
Yes, we actually have. We have Patrick Ewing talking about this after one of these incidents.
But I do want to say one thing, though. I thought this was my building, and I feel terrible that I'm getting stopped, accosted, asking for passes. Everybody in this building should know who the hell I am. And I'm getting stopped. I can't move around this building. Like I was like, what the hell? Is this Madison Square Garden? I'm going to have to call Mr. Dolan and say, geez, is my number in the rafters or what?
And now, Michael, you're offended by this, right? That
yes,
they don't let Patrick Ewing do whatever he wants?
Yes, Patrick Ewing should have total access, all
yes,
access throughout that building because of the legendary figure and stature and player that he was.
And people like Ireland are like, no, Mr. Ewing, you must have a press pass.
Where
is your press pass?
Not only Mr. Ewing, I say anybody. Michael, you say Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Magic Johnson.
The Laker legends should be able to have total access, free access throughout
Staples Center. Mr. Captain, I must stop you at the gate. You are not allowed in without a pass.
Our friend Michael Roth is the vice president at AEG. Whenever we have questions about anything that goes on at Staples Center, we bring Michael onto the show. And Michael, we need you to settle this argument.
We need you to use common sense.
Yes.
You've heard both sides, Michael. What say you?
I thought you were bringing me on to play fast track today on the first day back. I was so excited.
we'll
congratulations
that
on that.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
All right. So this could not be an easier question, and it
really
has nothing to do with disrespecting a legend. I will give you a couple scenarios why most buildings, the most professional of all the buildings, require a pass.
Uh-huh.
Let's say, now no one is more recognizable there than John Ireland, okay?
Yes.
Everybody knows John Ireland. Why? Because he's nice to every member of our staff, okay?
Yep. Yes.
But let's just say one of two things happen to John Ireland, and he shows a pass every time he comes in. Let's say John knows that he could get in by just by smiling his face and showing his peanut head, and he gave his credential to somebody else. And so John walks in without a credential, and someone else, random, walks in with a credential and shows it really fast and walks in. That means, like, someone illegally
the
gets in
the only person
I'd
ever give
game.
It to is Mason.
Oh, come
well,
on.
That's okay.
Oh, this is ridiculous. But,
okay, well, that's,
yeah.
that's for
oh,
the example.
On. We're talking about
okay,
Kobe.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Mike. Let Michael finish because it's a, it's a bogus it's a bogus response.
John,
but go
John
ahead,
Ireland
Michael.
Looks like John Ireland looks like the common Joe Blow out there.
John, I mean, with all due respect, we're talking with all due respect, we're talking about Patrick Ewing. Yeah, we're not talking about John Ireland, some random.
So, Michael Roth,
we're talking about people. No, we're talking about
Kareem. Let's say it's Kareem or Magic.
We don't want our people to. But you see, Kareem gets in, but Kareem has a credential. Kareem could give his credential to someone who shows it real fast, and you don't want an extra 100 people coming in for the playoffs. And sitting in seats and standing in aisles.
No.
And even more so.
Kareem's not going to do that. Magic's not going to be irresponsible and do that.
So Kareem lost his credential and someone picks it up. He lost it because he never used it. And here's another thing. Let's just say.
That's why he shouldn't need a credential.
The Pac-12 is having a game, okay?
That's why he shouldn't need a credential.
Yeah, Michael, in all fairness, isn't his credential hanging in the rafters?
Right, his face.
No. His jersey is. His jersey's hanging in the rafters.
His credential is what he did for the Lakers while he was there. He's the greatest Laker player, second
best
player ever.
But MT, they have other events. They have other events.
What are we talking about for Laker games?
We don't want someone giving their credential away. But see, here's the thing. Okay, so now further, Michael Thompson, the Pac-12 rents a tournament for their tournament.
I'm not in this class. I'm talking about the legendary Laker players, okay? People who are like larger than life. Come on, Michael.
Okay.
You know who I'm talking about.
Okay, let's say Patrick Ewing. Here's another one. Let's say Patrick Ewing gave his credential to Charles Oakley, who has been banned from the building. Charles Oakley uses a credential because the officer doesn't know Charles Oakley's banned. Charles Oakley gets in the building and wreaks havoc behind Jimmy Dolan.
Oakley is wreaking havoc now.
It's happened before.
Well, he's done it before. But that's just the point. You want people, and during COVID time, when we come back, hopefully soon, with fans, they will be under strict notice of how many people get in the building. And let's go back to the example. John Ireland gives his pass to somebody. We have an extra body in the building. And at the end of the day, someone doesn't get in because we've exceeded the capacity.
Michael, we're talking about normal circumstances, okay? We're not talking about this the COVID times.
Oh, well, that's what happened to Ewing.
But he was already in the building.
We don't want he wasn't in the building. He was denied access to the building.
He was already in the building.
He's already in the building.
But Michael, either way, what's wrong with asking Michael Thompson, what's wrong with asking Patrick Ewing to throw a credential around his neck?
Because he's Patrick.
And by the way, I'll give you the, okay, I have a credential. I show my credential when I come in. When I come for a Laker game, and I've been to a couple this year, I am not permitted to be on the floor because that's the
red
zone.
Yeah, you're only permitted where Michael Thompson and I go.
Right.
That's a different – okay. So if Michael Thompson tried to go on the floor to see his son, if his son was there or something, they would look at his credential and they would realize he wasn't permitted. So that's a way without Michael Thompson showing his credential, big timing it down. He could go on the floor to see his son.
I wouldn't do
that. He could ruin all the protocols and we could have the game canceled.
No, but see, that's
everybody has to have a credential to gain access.
No, you're going worst case scenario.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't disrespect the building or the protocol that way.
Right,
so,
but you're saying just because you wouldn't do it, nobody else would ever do it.
Well, why do you think Kareem and Magic would disrespect their access?
Yeah, we're talking about legends.
Yes.
We're not talking about some rando like John Ireland. We're talking about actual legends.
Right.
Well, hey, Michael Roth, the other argument I made
is
all the ushers don't necessarily know Kareem and Magic.
Oh, come on. Hey, you'd be the fire if they don't know who Kareem is.
Believe it or not. There might be one or two that don't, and you can't say here. You know, anybody over 7'1" gets in. You can't. I believe what Michael. You are right, and it should be common sense, and it should be. But it's up to. It's basically up to the teams.
Yes, I know.
And we would hate for. And where do you draw the line?
You mean
we would hate for our staff to have to say, wait a minute, you're a legend, I recognize you, but what if Michael Cooper comes up after he gets in the Hall of Fame this week, we hope?
Oh, he deserves to get in, too.
Well, so what if they say, Michael, I'm sorry, you're not a legendary status enough yet. You're not with Kareem.
Right.
We don't want our staff to make that decision.
Next week he gets in. This week he doesn't.
Exactly.
All right. Hey, Michael, I want to ask you one other thing before we let you go.
If Magic Johnson were to fly commercial, and if Magic Johnson walked onto an American Airlines flight, would they show it? Would they require a ticket?
That's different.
We're talking about his building where he played. All right. Okay. Michael.
Go ahead.
Okay. So you are the ultimate glad hander. You know every single person in that building, it seems like to me.
A high percentage.
Is the handshake for you dead? How are you greeting people in this pandemic and ultimately post-pandemic era? Are you going to continue to shake hands?
I would
probably not, because it makes some people feel more uncomfortable than others, and I don't want to do that. And frankly, it's going to be very, very hard for me. It's going to be hard for me not to hug people the first time I see them all back.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, it just, after being at home for a year, it just doesn't seem right. That you know, it's a small price we pay to wear a mask. It's a small price we pay not to go certain places if it's keeping more people healthy. And if we are told by the science that we all trust, don't shake hands, it's a small price to pay for keeping more people healthy.
I've been saying that for 20 years.
So what will you do, Michael? These guys say bow. I'm going to go salute. Some people are doing elbow bump.
It seems the elbow bump is what's most, you know, what's most, or you know what? I like to make a little fist and hit my heart.
Oh, that's nice.
I like that.
I'm going to use that.
A simple head nod. How you doing?
Yeah.
Michael, you and I got to popularize the bow.
The fist on my heart's a little deeper than a head nod because it shows that I care about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
But Larry
like
Davis
that.
Says you just can't give a bad bow.
Yeah. I think it'd be interesting. Hey, Michael Roth, are you going tonight?
No, you know what? It's if I don't need to be there, I don't, you know, our staff is incredible. I go in just to check when I need to, but, you know, I'm not going tonight. It's raining.
Okay. Last thing for you, Michael. So I got my first, shot and I'm getting my second shot on the 27th.
Looking to invest? Start your journey by exploring exchange-traded funds with GlobalX ETFs. Exchange-traded funds, or ETFs for short, create baskets of stocks, bonds, and other assets that you can buy in a single trade. GlobalX specializes in ETFs that track emerging trends, like the rise of artificial intelligence, as well as strategies aimed to generate income potential. Visit GlobalXETFs.com to discover how you can get started.
At that point, once we get to April, am I allowed back in the building? I mean, obviously wearing a mask, but I'm allowed back in the building?
Every protocol is being set by the leagues for each game. We will enforce them all. They're not requiring that if you're healthy in certain areas. Last I heard, there's going to be a number. And so the team is going to have to assign a ticket, a pass, some sort of entry
right,
so that they do not exceed the number. So, you know, there'll be a certain number for press, there'll be a certain number for fans, there'll be a certain number for staff.
Right.
We are still obligated by the county to hit a number. So, you know, you're allowed whatever the team decides, you know, and you
so
know.
So basically what you're saying is call Allison. Call Allison.
Do you think we'll have fans?
Allison's in charge of media.
Yep.
Do you think we'll have fans by the playoffs, Mike?
What was that?
Do you think we'll have fans by the playoffs, like a portion of fans, a percentage?
It looks like our numbers are trending that way.
Yeah.
I hope they are. But you know what? I'm always worried what people did over spring break. Mm-hmm. You know, and I worry about people's behavior, and it frustrates me because people should know how to behave.
Yeah. All right.
Michael,
hey, listen, Michael.
You.
Thanks a lot for coming on, man. We appreciate it. Glad, great to hear from you.
You are mean.
All of you, I miss all of you, and you know, I hate to come between you like this.
I can't believe you would deny Magic Johnson access.
It's common sense. You two are idiots.
Mr. Johnson, I need your pass.
I can't believe, Michael, you think Magic deserves more access than James Worthy.
No! Worthy to go!
There you go!
Anybody's numbers who are up in the rafters, they should have total access.
Hey, Michael, thank you very much, man.
Worthy,
we appreciate
deserves
it.
Deserves more than Michael Cooper. Okay.
We will see you soon. Thanks, Michael.
I hope so. Take care. Bye.
Bye, Michael. Thank you.
Coming up next for you is Game of Games. It is Game of Games time, and it is brought to you by Power Pro Plumbing and Heating. Powerful, professional, affordable. It's who they are. It's in their name. They are our plumber. They want to be yours, too. Call 1-800-584-4116 or visit powerproplumbing.com. John, while you were gone,
yes.
Ramona, believe it or not, won two times on Game of Games. So the current score in the month of March is Lindsay 4, Mason 2, Ireland 2, Ramona 2, Jorge 1, Michael Thompson yet to scratch. He's got a chance today.
Is it my game today?
No, it's my game.
Ah.
Well, Michael, you want to do Monday?
Yeah, I got a couple of good ones. I got true false, and I also have.
You're up Monday. There's a Laker game Monday, and it's your game. Okay.
True false and ban.
Okay,
leaders.
I've got to get to this because we're running out of time. This is Lindsay, Michael, and Mason. Jorge can't play because he's helping me.
Okay.
This Sunday at Staples is the 63rd Grammy Awards.
Okay.
No fans, of course, but that inspired today's game. It's the lyrics game. I will read the lyrics from a past Grammy Award winner for either best record or best song. Now, I've added a twist. If you don't get it after a few words, Jorge's actually going to play 3 seconds of the song.
Oh, nice.
So the first one of you to name either the song or the artist wins it. I have six of these and a tiebreaker. Your name is your buzzer. If you think you know the song or the artist, buzz in. Here we go. Song number one. The heart is a bloom. Shoots up through
Mason.
The mace.
That is you too.
You too, beautiful day. Very good. Mace, play a little, Jorge.
Cool. Listen to you too.
Shoots up through the stony ground. All right, so that's beautiful day. Mason is on the board.
That's the only one I will get, I predict. You just hit my wheelhouse with that one.
No, I don't know. I think you got a shot here. All right, here we go. I'm up on him, he up on me. Don't pay him any attention. Just cried my tears. Lindsay.
That's Beyonce.
Beyonce, play a little, Jorge. Up on him, he up on me. Don't pay him any attention. All right,
I think it's way funnier when John reads it. I'm up on him.
I'm up on him, he is up on me.
Okay.
Where is his credential?
Okay, here's song number three. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Jorge, play a little. No
place to lay your head. Lindsay.
Somebody.
Don't worry, be happy.
Don't worry, be happy by Bobby McFerrin. That was the one I thought you were going to get, Michael, and Lindsay got it.
She beat me to it.
All right.
I'm really good at this game, Michael.
I see. Two right here.
All right. Next one. Every night in my dreams, I see you, I feel you.
Lindsay.
Lindsay.
Celine Dion.
Celine Dion. Play
in my dreams. That's a classic.
Who do you sing that to, Lindsay?
No, my mom listened to Celine Dion a lot. Oh.
God, that song just annoyed the
living
hell out of
me after
all day
a while. Right.
Lindsay has taken a commanding lead. She gets this and she wins it. You guys got to get it to stay alive.
Stay alive.
Okay. There's a fire starting in my heart.
Lindsay.
Mason.
No, Lindsay got it. Lindsay was there first.
I'm giving it to Mason. Mace, who is it?
Right.
I'm going to go Springsteen.
No.
Lindsay?
It's Adele.
It is Adele.
Oh, there's a fire. Yeah.
Man, do they still have that show Name That Tune? Because you need to get on that, Lindsay.
They do actually have that show Name That Tune.
I want to be on it. How do I get on that show?
Really? Well, Lindsay, your performance today is helping. Here we go. We'll play these last two just for fun. When my hair's all but gone and my memory fades and the crowds don't remember my name.
Mason.
Mace.
I will go Billy Joel.
No. Michael and Lindsay still alive. Play a little.
Why do you laugh at my guesses, Jorge? Oh,
Lindsay.
God. Now
Lindsay.
I know it.
That Ed Sheeran?
Ed Sheeran is correct. Mm. And Lindsay
terrible,
has five
terrible music.
Michael, this is your last chance all not right. to pull.
I gotta give
a
do a reggae one. Jeez.
Okay, here we go. Last one. If I should stay, I would only be
Lindsay.
Mason. Yeah.
Isn't Lindsay. That Whitney Houston?
That is Whitney God. Houston. Play
yeah,
a little.
Or
hooray.
Dolly Parton would have been acceptable.
What happened, Michael?
Man, I'm just musically challenged.
See, everybody's got their strengths and weaknesses, right, yeah. Michael?
Lindsay, yeah, that was good. A dominating performance.
Well, Lindsay,
performance.
I'll do. You want me to do true or false, or you want me to do lead singers of groups on Monday?
Lead singers.
All right, yeah, you're going to kill that, Lindsay.
Okay, so that's coming up Monday. It'll be Michael's game. Hey, Michael, what do you expect tonight? No Marc Gasol, no Anthony
Hey, real
Davis.
Quick, real quick question before you get to that. Yeah. What's our out time?
52.
52.
Wow. Like it is every single day.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
I expect the Lakers to win tonight. They should be refreshed. So Indiana Pacers, of course. But the guys had 12 days off, basically. So I expect the team to come out refreshed and re-energized and eager to start the second half off right.
It's going to be a tough slog. It's going to be a tough slog. Obviously, tonight without Anthony Davis, and they're going to do an evaluation of Anthony Davis tonight, which, mm-hmm. you know,
that
holds
means
your
we
breath.
Could see him this week.
Yeah, he'll be back soon. He's had like 3 weeks
Thursday,
off.
Thursday, so no, Michael, Thursday will be 4 weeks.
That's right.
So we'll see him. So that's good. And Caris LeVert, who has a chance to be the best player on the Pacers, Domantas Sabonis is the best player on the Pacers now. So it's either him or Malcolm Brogdon. Caris LeVert, Michael, we're going to miss him by one night. He's going to make his debut for the Pacers tomorrow night in Phoenix.
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear he had a clean bill of health. Hope it stays that
way. Yeah, that was a lucky thing that he got that physical when he did.
Yeah.
It really was. All right, so don't forget, we got Lakers-Pacers tonight for you. 7 o'clock is the tip. 5:30, Spock and the Jock with Lakers pregame.
Logical.
Coming up next for you is Sedano, LZ, and Cap. They will walk you right up to Lakers pregame, and we are back on Monday, 12:55 sharp. And don't forget, big success today, Fast Track, every single day at 1:55. Make sure you are here for that.
Bobcat!
Everybody, have a great weekend. Go Lakers, and we will talk to you on Monday right here on 710 ESPN.